Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We go live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres. Every week, I'm alongside my co-host, Fred Alvader. And Fred, this week we had a special edition at 8:30 p.m., but we are here. How are you today?
Oh, Carlos, I'm fantastic. We've got Tiger and Phil are both in the field in Phoenix for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Rory is playing in Dubai, so we got golf to watch in the morning. We got the women on. They're playing down in Florida. We got the PGA Tour in Arizona. Things are really heating up. We're going to talk Olympic golf tonight. And I'm telling you, Carlos, we got so much news to cover. I don't know if 60 minutes is enough. Let's go.
It's not enough. It's not enough. It's never enough. But we have to start somewhere. And we're going to start with our first segment, as usual, the Par 5 News that is presented by United Golf Network. And, Fred, you have something on Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth. So how about that? What's going on?
Yeah, I do, Carlos. But before I get into that, I just want to mention real quickly something that happened today. CBS announced that Frank Nabilo will be leaving Golf Channel and joining their broadcasting team for golf with the retirement of Peter Oosterhaus. Nabilo has been at Golf Channel for several years and should be a good addition to that team. Yes, for Full Swing, for Tiger and for Jordan Spieth, you know, we had Chad Coleman, the president of Full Swing Golf Simulators, on the show, about a month ago? And I had the chance to meet and talk with him in Orlando last week. Full Swing is getting notice from some of the game's best players. Both Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth purchased Full Swing simulators for their personal use and have now signed endorsement deals with Full Swing. Tiger said, "I've used a Full Swing simulator for years at the Champions Grill at Isleworth and am thrilled to now have their latest products at the clubhouse of El Cardinal at Diamante, the first Tiger Woods designed course, and also at my home in Jupiter. I couldn't be more excited to be part of the Full Swing golf family." Spieth said, "I recently bought a home in Dallas and chose Full Swing golf simulator over the competition. I'm a big fan of their technologies and want a practice solution at home that I can truly trust." Spieth and Woods now join such names as Ian Poulter, Hunter Mahan, Bill Haas, and Oliver Wilson with Full Swing simulators in their homes. You know, and Carlos, Spieth also got a new deal with Under Armour. You know, he's been wearing their apparel for the last 2 years. Under Armour ripped up the final 2 years of an endorsement deal it had with the golfer and signed him to a new 10-year deal, which it announced on Wednesday. Financial terms were not disclosed, but like most golf deals, the contract is known to include many performance-based incentives. The company passed Adidas as the second best-selling sports apparel brand in America, so it's been working out pretty well for him with Jordan Spieth wearing their stuff. And the deal guarantees that Spieth will wear only Under Armour head to toe, including golf shoes, which they will hit the retail market later this year with. "I really enjoyed being on this journey with Under Armour since turning professional, and I can't wait to accomplish great things together in the next phase of my career." A representative from Under Armour said, "He's athletic, he's young, he has the right character, and he wins. This is a testament to our investment in the golf performance space." You know, an Under Armour strategy is to invest in fewer players, but they want to almost exclusively cover the whole player. They don't want other logos or on there or anything. So that was their idea in putting a lot of money, investing a lot of money in Spieth. So, you know, Jordan Spieth has rocketed up the official world golf rankings, and Now he is rapidly moving up the list of players with huge off-the-course endorsement deals also. So good for Jordan Spieth. He's reaping the rewards of his success over the last 2 years. And I think we have a new baby in the golf family, Carlos.
Oh, we do. But talking about babies, you know, Spieth is the baby star of golf. And I think that Under Armour did well by ripping up those final 2 years of that endorsement they had with him and signing him up to that 10-year extension. So they do. They have to do it now because otherwise, like you mentioned, they don't want any other logos on golf's brightest new star there. But you said it, you called it, you know, it was announced that this past week that Dustin Johnson and Paulina Gretzky welcomed their little bundle of joy into the world. You know, on Wednesday, Johnson announced that Paulina Gretzky is resting comfortably in great spirits. That following the birth of son Tatum. Tatum came into the world on Monday and was first reported by Dustin Johnson on Twitter. He was named Tatum based on the Gretzky family tradition of naming boys with the first letter T. Wow, they followed the Gretzky family tradition. You know, they had a photo featuring Johnson holding a tightly wrapped up Tatum in the signature hospital blanket and hat. And he tweeted with the photo, "What really matters, little Tatum and parents DJ and Paulina." Then on Friday, Gretzky shared a photo of the newborn on Instagram. The photo showed a tiny Tatum in a fuzzy blanket in mom's Gretzky's arm. She captioned the photo, "So in love with my little boy, Tatum Gretzky Johnson." When Tatum was first born, Johnson released a statement, you know, with their happiness, expressing all that happiness about their new bundle of joy. So Johnson had said that he wouldn't return to golf until fiancé Paulina Gretzky, had given birth to the couple's first child. Well, that is now over. So suspension or leave of absence, Dustin Johnson will have been away from the PGA Tour for exactly 6 months and 5 days when he returns to the competition at the Farmers Insurance Open in 2 weeks. On Friday, tournament officials confirmed that Johnson has committed to the event that is played on February 5th through the 8th at Torrey Pines near San Diego. The official deadline for the field is the Friday of next week's event, the Waste Management and Phoenix Open. So, you know, Johnson has not competed on the PGA Tour since missing the cut at the RBC Canadian Open in July. So on July 31st, 2014, he announced he was taking a leave of absence to address personal challenges. You know, shortly after, as you remember, Golf.com reported that Johnson had been suspended 6 months for failing a third drug test under the tour's anti-doping program. The report also claimed two of those failed drug tests turned off cocaine. Johnson and tour officials have vehemently denied that the South Carolina native was suspended, and in multiple interviews this past week in anticipation of his return, Johnson has said he has issues but denied cocaine being one of them. He did say that alcohol is one of them, but not cocaine. So to his benefit, he did not enter any rehab during his leave of absence. So, you know, it has also been reported lately that he has a new outlook on life, and that might have been having a lot to do with Paulina's daddy, Wayne Gretzky, taking him under his arm. So, Fred, one thing is for sure, you know, whatever happened, and anything from me and most of the people would be pure speculation, I am really glad that Dustin Johnson is returning to golf pretty soon. You know, sport is only better with him, and he's probably better off with it, too.
Yeah, did you happen to see the video that he made with Tom Rinaldi all set up, you know, to make him look good? But it was pretty lame. I don't see his PR agent getting a raise anytime soon. That was one of the poor PR efforts that I've ever seen anybody do. So he didn't do well on that. Hey, Carlos, the Robert Allenby story is beginning to resemble the Titanic. It seems to have more than a few holes in it. This much is certain. Allenby missed the cut at the Sony Open, and after dining and drinking in a trendy restaurant in Honolulu, was robbed of most but not all of his credit cards, some $800 in cash, and his phone. Honolulu police are tracking the expenditures to Allenby's stolen credit cards, which have exceeded $20,000. Carlos, I'm glad I don't have the problems of the affluent. Thieves would never have been allowed to charge that much on my credit cards because they would hit the limits a long time before that. The facts continue. After having dinner with his caddy and a friend from Australia, Allenby was sitting alone at his table when he was approached by two men and a woman. Allenby knows this because he went back to the bar the next day to review video from the surveillance cameras. He knows he paid his check with an American Express card, slipped it into his pocket, and not his money clip, exited the bar with three unknown individuals, and according to the video footage, walked out of the building at 11:06 p.m. Two local homeless men said they found Allenby some 20 minutes later, passed out on the street adjacent to a row of shrubs just 100 yards from the exit up to the wine bar. They said Allenby didn't appear injured at that time, but was disoriented, and after a brief conversation, became belligerent, accusing the two men of having robbed him, so they left him on the corner. Allenby was next seen about a mile away from this wine bar at the Club Femme Nue, an adult entertainment club. You've been to the adult entertainment clubs, Carlos, I'm sure. Multiple sources who were working at the club that night confirmed that Allenby was there around midnight with a group of friends and ran up a $3,400 bar tab. That's pretty good for a guy that had all his money stolen and all his credit cards. Just after 1 a.m., 2 hours after originally finding Allenby, the two homeless men returned to find him passed out at about the same spot where they saw him before. When he returned a second time, they saw that Allenby's face was all busted up. He was sitting down, nodding off, and he hit his head. He was beyond drunk, totally blitzed. It had to be a little bit more than just drunk, which goes to the central theme in Allenby's bizarre ordeal. You know, he thinks he's been drugged or something, and he can't remember anything. He's got total amnesia for the 2 hours or whatever time period that we're talking about. He remembers waking up at 1:27 a.m. being helped into a taxi by the homeless woman and another unidentified man who paid the 43-year-old's cab fare back to the hotel he was staying in, where he contacted the police and claimed he had been kidnapped, beaten, robbed, and thrown from a trunk. So, you know, it just, you know, he said there's a 2.5 gap in his memory. That's what he told police. Not sure really what happened. He remembers someone hitting him twice. I don't know who that person is, but I remember it. I keep having nightmares about it. And he had a press conference today. Can you imagine he's playing in Scottsdale in the Waste Management Phoenix Open? The crowds are just going to be all over him out there. If he makes the cut out there, it'll be an absolute miracle. But you know what happens from here on out? He said in his press conference today, he has total faith in the detectives. The truth will come out, and he stands by his story. You know, Carlos, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder, but he's back in action, and apparently a few thousand dollars lighter in the pocketbook.
And he will stand by his story, and hopefully, you know, he's really confident that the detectives will get the story straight. I don't know if he's really wanting that to happen. I don't know. I just believe it right there.
Good luck on that one.
Yeah. Hey, wow, great news, man. I'm really pumped up about this one. The PGA Tour has announced a 20-year extension of its partnership with Charles Schwab and Company, and that was on Tuesday. You know, the agreement now is the longest on the PGA Tour has ever entered into, and will create a playoff for the Champions Tour. The playoffs will start on 2016. They got this thing because of the NCAA, I guess, you know, the success he's had with the playoffs. So they have to get some. You know, the quote says Charles Schwab has been an exceptional partner on the PGA Tour and Champions Tour since 1997. That was what PGA Tour Commissioner Tim Fincham said. And he added, in particular, Schwab has had a profound impact on the Champions Tour through its sponsorship of the Charles Schwab Cup and, more recently, the Schwab Cup Championship. Today, we're thrilled to announce that this important relationship will continue for another 20 years through this unprecedented agreement. You know, Schwab will continue to be the official investment firm of the PGA and Champions Tour, while the company will also continue as the umbrella sponsor for the season-long Charles Schwab Cup and will still sponsor the season-ending Charles Schwab Cup Championship. You know, Fincham said the details of the new Champions Tour playoff format will be outlined at a later date. The Charles Schwab Cup was introduced in 2001, and the Schwab Cup Championship was added in 2003. I'm not sure about this. Think about that. You know, 20 years? Patrick Reed will still be several years away from Champions Tour eligibility. How can they do that? You know, besides the playoff format, TBOL, to be determined, to be outlined later, at the present time, continue to sponsor this young year's long race. I don't know about this one, but the only people that care right now, I guess, about it are the friends and family of the Champion Tour's players. I think the Tour at least gets some relief money, and they'll get it. That's good for them. But they really need to do something pronto to spark interest on the 50-year and over Tour trip.
Well, you know, with the FedEx Cup, the race to Dubai, the race to the CME Globe, you got the Web.com final series. You know, it makes sense to have some kind of a playoff deal for the Champions Tour. I'm sure they've been wanting that. And Charles Schwab has done a good job on the Champions Tour. So, you know, I guess it only makes sense. We'll see how it goes. Hey, we got a really, really nice story to wrap up the Par 5 news tonight. You know, Lee Westwood can't seem to win a major, but he can save lives. The Dispatch is reporting that Lee Westwood helped save a man from drowning in Barbados, and he said, "I was only too happy to help." The golfer's selfless action came while he was on vacation in the Caribbean, but he says the incident was nothing like a scene from Baywatch. Westwood was just on the beach, you know, enjoying the sun, taking the time off before playing in the Omega Dubai Desert Classic this week. Meanwhile, the man, Colin Davies, described how Westwood came to the rescue when he got into difficulties swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. "If there's a power looking over us, I hope he takes note and delivers three majors to this kind and gentle human being. I have Parkinson's disease, so to enter the sea was foolhardy or stupid. As soon as I entered, I realized I was in trouble. My legs wouldn't move, and my wife, Linda, was out of earshot. The family next to us on the beach heard my cry, and with a second, a muscular male grabbed me and with tremendous but gentle care got me back to my lounge bed. In the shock of the moment, Davies did not realize the identity of the Good Samaritan, only later discovered it was 9-time Ryder Cup player, Lee Westwood. He had been scouring the beaches to thank the lifeguard, but Westwood had returned to his home in West Palm Beach, Florida." Evidently, he put his practice cape away and all that stuff, too. Westwood said of the ordeal, "Don't get any red shorts running down the beach, Baywatch images in your head. The gentleman was struggling to get back up on the beach. I was only too happy to help. Really outplayed it. Good for him." Carlos, where is Pamela Anderson or Yasmin Bleeth when you really need them? You knew I couldn't miss that, right? You knew I would not miss that. Carlos, that's the Par 5 news presented by United Golf World, United Golf Network.
See what Pamela did to you?
I know. I get all wrapped up here. United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn some money while doing it. They offer top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories are available through United Golf Network with discount coupons for huge savings. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, it also offers every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on product through their director's program. United Golf Network provides instant and free access to Global Affinity, which offers discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations. This is a great thing to use when planning golf getaways. Another free perk is membership to MyGolf in U.S., which offers discounted golf rounds in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. And finally, For Sale by Owner allows you to sell used or new equipment and earn sales credits on every sale. This will save you nearly 4% off selling off of eBay on eBay. Visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos.
Well, that wraps up our Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. Well, right now, we're going to go now to our segment of the VIG, the very important guest of the week, the interviews. And we are going to have not one, we're going to have two that are that Fred taped at the PGA Merchandise Show last week. The first one is with Mark Gagne, the Vice President of Marketing at Sunis. Sunis is a company from Canada that emerged in 1976 in Calgary as a dynamic new brand in ski wear. Their desire to raise the profile of their brand showed itself literally in 1982 when Sunis outfitted a team making Canada's first ever attempt to summit Everest. The ascent continued in 1988 when the pioneering brand was selected as an official supplier to the Winter Olympics in Calgary. And, you know, following its Olympic success, Sunis decided to plant its flag in a new industry, and that was golf. The golf outwear line was introduced in 1992, offering quality on par with their ski gear. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about Mark Gagne from Sunis and the interview.
Yeah, they've just had a major change at the top of the management group for Sunice. The previous owner sold the company, and so there's a new general manager. Mark Gagne is the vice president of marketing for the company now. Really only been in a job about a month, but he's from Canada, and he was very familiar with the brand. He's been in the apparel business. And, you know, Sunice is the most popular rain and foul weather apparel used on the PGA Tour. Their shirts and pants are made of the most comfortable fabrics and are known to world-class athletes around the world. They recently, as I mentioned, just underwent their change, and they're really being aggressive in promoting their product and really looking to get it out there to golfers. And I've always been a big fan of theirs, so I think that comes through in the interview with Mark. He was a pleasure to talk to, a real fun guy. I look forward to talking to him again sometime.
Okay, let's play that interview.
We're here on the floor of the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida, and we are with Mark Gagne, who is the Vice President of Marketing for Sunice. And Mark, we are so happy to have you with us today.
Very nice to be with you, Fred.
You know, you were telling me a little bit earlier that you're from the great country up north of the ice and snow, Canada. So what are you doing at a golf show promoting golf clothes when you're from up there in the Arctic North?
Well, actually, that's a great question. Because we were born in the extreme cold, often in Canada, people who ski also golf, which was the case of our founders of our company. And they, once they discovered great fibers, and it's super important in mountaineering is the freedom of movement, all these things were similar that were needed in golf. So they took their technology that they learned and applied it to golf clothing, which is still in the spirit today, where is taking the latest technology either to block wind, keep you warm, or keep you cool.
Well, you know, I've been familiar with the Sunice brand for some time, and I think your company now is also affiliated with Tommy Hilfiger and AUR, but the Sunice brand has always had high quality and really colorful, bright colors, a really good product for the golf market.
Well, I'm glad you noticed that, Fred, but you know who else has noticed it? Is PGA Tour professionals, and we're actually the number one or number two. It's very close, but we have over 50 pro tours that have Sun Ice outerwear in their bag.
Yeah, that's, and a lot of people don't know that. They, you know, they see the FootJoy brand or they see some other brand name there and they think that's it. But you guys have a quality product, and people, the real serious golfers, recognize that.
Exactly, but we have to remember that our first thing is the attention is on the golfer. And, you know, just the little features like that you can tighten the waist so that when you're playing golf, there's never anything bulky affecting your swing. And then, of course, any golfer would know that the shoulder movement is the key to everything. So we actually have different fiber in the shoulders to make your movement as if you were golfing on a perfectly sunny day, but it's raining or it's cool. We want you to play golf as if it was a perfectly sunny day. I mean, that's our mission in life.
I know the Sun Ice brand is in a lot of better pro shops, a lot of better retail shops all around the land, but if you want to see some of the product, you can go to the website, which is?
sunice.com, or for the lucky people, if you go to Pebble Beach, go visit the pro shop, and they have plenty of Sun Ice product.
Oh, nice name to drop, Pebble. Yeah, we like that. That's good. Well, listen, Mark, it was a great pleasure talking to you today. So visit sunice.com, look at their clothing, go out and buy some. It's a great product.
And I'd just like to tell people, keep golfing no matter what the weather.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You know, Fred, I don't know. I liked it already. He said one thing that is really attracting me right now, and that is that, you know, you can fit it at the bottom and you won't feel anything bulky on it. So I don't know how that's going to work with me. I mean, nothing has worked, diet, anything. But if that works, I'll promote it all the way.
I think he's talking about guys with 34-inch waist, Carlos.
Man, you brought me down. I had my mind set up.
But Zing, no, gotcha.
Yeah, and but go there to sunice.com and see the great products they have. And they're really looking good. Not for me. I don't have that shape, but, you know, someday. Good to dream. Hey, we have another interview, and that's with Sean McDonald. She's the founder and president of Feedback Enterprise, and Feedback Enterprise develops analysis technologies that aim to revolutionize the way people learn, teach, and enjoy life. The company deploys proprietary algorithms and computer vision techniques to deliver personalized, adaptive, instant feedback coaching systems, and its flagship product is Feedback Golf. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about Sean and this interview.
You know, Carlos, some of the most interesting new products at the golf show are technology-based. And Feedback Golf is something that I've kind of been looking for a while, and it kind of touches all the bases. It offers the average golfer the chance to use voice-activated software on their smartphone to tape their swing and share it with their instructor, who may be 100 or 1,000 miles away. Charlie Reimer had this to say about Feedback. Here's what's really cool about it. You can share videos with your instructor. He can edit it and send it right back. You could still be on the range, Carlos. You could tape a couple of swings, send it off, still keep hitting balls, and maybe 5 minutes later you'll get the reply back from your instructor, and so you can immediately start making the changes. So that's really cool. It's also hands-free, voice-activated. You know, you don't have to hit a shot, go over and punch the buttons on your phone. You know, it's just very cool technology. And Sean does a nice job talking about it, and I'll just listen to the interview.
Okay, let's play the interview with Sean McDonald.
We're on the floor of the PGA Merchandise Show here in Orlando, and we happen to be talking to Sean McDonald right now from Feedback Golf. And I just talked to her a little bit in her booth, and she has a great product I'm going to let her tell you about.
So I was at the driving range, and I was swinging away, and I wanted something to video my golf swing without having somebody there. Looked at some other options, and they all required that I hit a button, run to the tee box, and run back and forth. And I said, well, let's just design our own. So we came up with an idea of using voice-activated solution. So you download our app, click a button, the system says, please say ready to record video. When you hear, you say the word ready, when you hear the first beep, you know it's recording, and when you hear the second beep, it's finished recording. And that way you can just stay in the tee box, say the word ready, and you get a nice, natural experience and all these little videos of your golf swing, no editing required. And then we provide a lot of neat tools in order to be able to review those, share them with your instructor, and do a whole bunch of other things after that.
Yeah, you were showing me it even has a split screen that you can compare, say like a Tiger Woods or somebody else's swing to yours if you want to. It has the writing and drawing tools on it. So your instructor, you could shoot this to your instructor. He doesn't even have to be with you over the smartphone. He could look at it, critique it, put some lines on it, send it right back to you.
You got it. We really wanted to enable that student-instructor relationship where you could just focus on golf and not have to be technical experts on how to move video from point A to point B. And so all you have to do, if you have an instructor in the system, hit the favorite button. They instantly get an email that says, here's what to do, and here's the email, here's the instructions. Go for it from there.
And looking at the video that you're providing, I mean, it's very high quality, very easy to look at, very easy to see. It's not, you know, I'm sure it depends on your conditions, your sun, and all that kind of thing, but it looked really, really good.
Yeah, it really takes advantage of the fact that we're carrying in our pockets and our smartphones some very high-quality cameras. And so we take advantage of that and then just provide some enabling technology to make it easy to use and share and helps you with your golf game.
You also, I see you have a tripod for mounting on the ground to make sure you have the right angle for a shoot. Also, you have some brackets for on golf carts or on your golf bag or something if you want to set it there while you're swinging on the range or wherever you're at.
So what we did is we made the app free. You can download it from either Google Play or the App Store. But after you try to upload your 20th swing, we'll ask you for a membership. Or you can buy our box, which includes a tripod clamp and a Bluetooth, because it is all voice activated. The Bluetooth is a really nice way of being able to talk to your phone. And that retails for $89.95. You can buy from a number of online retailers, including us at Feedback Golf.
Well, thank you so much for taking your time. I found it to be a really unique product, and I plan on using this in the future. So thank you again, and we look forward to seeing how you go along down the road here.
Great. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Brett, that's one of the things. You know, I'm all pro technology. That's my work. And, you know, rather than simply guessing on the range, as so many do, you know, most golfers now would really are going to benefit greatly from that ability to physically see their swing to help them better understand what's going on. Like she said, I totally have to agree that the main hindrance right now that often keeps people from recording their swings traditionally has been, you know, that inconvenience of having to focus on being the cameraman and then the golfer at the same time if they don't have someone there to assist them. And I think that Feedback Collect is aiming definitely to remedy this by joining that booming golf app market and utilizing the convenience of smart mobile phones and hands-free voice commands to make obtaining that visually swing feedback much easier.
It's a really cool product. You can go to their website, feedbackgolf.com, and take a look at it. I was playing around with it there on the floor a little bit, looking at it, and they have an affiliate program for golf instructors, so I'm going to get signed up for that. And Carlos, then you can go on and join and have it, and you can shoot me your videos, and I will give you golf lessons from Toledo and shoot them back to you in Puerto Rico, and we'll take 8 or 10 strokes off your handicap. How about that?
Let's do it right now. I'm going to order that flexible tripod, you know, a video capture. Let's do it. We're doing it, and we're seeing it right here today, January 27th, here on the Back Nine Report. So we're going to do it, okay? So
sounds good.
Feedback Golf. Let's do it. That's my challenge now. Hey, that wraps up our BIG, Very Important Guest of the Week segment. We had Mark Gagne, the Vice President of Marketing at Sunice, and Sean McDonald, Founder and President of Feedback Golf. Don't go away. We're going to take a very short break, but when we come back, we have our practice range and a very hot topic.
you don't want to miss. We also have Ron Green Jr. on an interview joining us to help us discuss drug policies. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our Practice Range segment. And this week, we're going to be talking about drug policy, especially the PGA Tour drug policy and all the ramifications about it, the Olympic golf, the other sports, how they implement it. But also, we do have Ron Green Jr. with an interview. So, Fred, let's start with the interview with Ron Green Jr. Can you set up this interview for us?
Yeah, Ron was who writes for the Global Golf Post was kind enough to join our discussion this evening and talk a little bit about the ramifications of the kind of non-disclosure policy of the PGA Tour versus full disclosure like they have for the Olympics. And so this is a concern for some of these guys that are trying to make their country's Olympic golf team. Yes, it doesn't come into effect until like, 3 or 4 months prior to the Olympics, which is not till the summer of 2016. But, we just saw problems with Dustin Johnson. We saw a problem with a Web.com Tour player. There were some problems in 2009. And so these things seem to be coming to the forefront a little bit more often these days. So Ron travels with the tour. He's out there. He sees these guys all the time, and he knows what's going on. So it was great to get his information and his take on this issue.
Okay, let's play that interview with Ron Green Jr.
Ron Green Jr. has agreed to talk to us again today, and he's an experienced golf writer, covered golf for many years, travels the world following all the major golf tours. His insightful articles can be read every week in Global Golf Post. Ron, thanks for joining us again tonight to add to our discussion about the PGA Tour drug policy of non-disclosure versus the International Olympic Committee's full disclosure policy.
Glad to do it. Yeah, it's an ongoing topic, isn't it? And I think as we get closer to the Olympics, I think it's going to draw a little more attention, given that whomever the players are who qualify for the various national teams around for the Olympics next year, they're going to be introduced to a whole new world of drug testing.
Yeah, you know, we saw Doug Barron be the first player suspended under the current PGA Tour drug policy in 2009. The Tour tried to suspend Vijay Singh last year, but that was later dropped by the Tour, and Singh is now suing the Tour for that failed attempt. We have seen over the past couple of months some more activity, though. A couple of related suspensions. First came Dustin Johnson's was it or wasn't it 6-month hiatus from the tour, and more recently, a Web.com Tour player, Bhavik Patel, was suspended for 1 year for using a banned substance. Well, Patel, 24, from Bakersfield, California, played some college golf at Fresno State. Played the last couple of years in Web.com, finished outside the top 100, can't quite make it to the PGA Tour. But my first question is, are incidences of drug abuse becoming more prevalent on the PGA Tour, or are we just becoming more aware of it?
Well, I think, you don't have to go back too very, very far to remember when they didn't have drug testing at all. And it's come into I'm sure it's been more years now than I think, because everything seems to be more years ago than I realized now. But I don't know if it's more than it has been. I think, obviously, the tour doesn't disclose any of the details about any of that except in the case of suspension for violating the anti-doping policy. And Patel confessed to having used something he shouldn't have and getting caught and took full responsibility for it. I think the fact that they haven't had more suspensions related to that. I would suggest that guys aren't really doing that much. That's not to sound naive that guys aren't doing some things, or some guys aren't, you know, looking for ways to stretch the envelope a little bit. But I think they're probably pretty happy with what they have, or and probably better to say what they haven't found in terms of their drug testing. Now, once they get into, you know, personal life and, I don't know, recreational drugs and everything, it gets very dark and murky, and the tour has been very resolute in keeping any of those disciplinary actions quiet. They don't want to put them out there. Unlike, I guess, virtually every other major sports organization in the United States, which does announce them. And I would think that eventually the tour may come around to that way of thinking. Though, you know, I understand the players don't want to, you know, if they fall into something they shouldn't have and get caught, I understand they don't want their name out there. But I think it's in the way the world is going these days, and with corporate involvement and wanting to what corporations are putting their name on and trying to see, have the tour represent, I think they're going to want them to be right up front with everything as best they can.
You know, as you kind of mentioned there, you know, the PGA Tour is owned by the players. They're not going to want to publicize misconduct or air their dirty linen in the media. So, you know, and you kind of talked about a little bit, how are these conflicting IOC standards of full disclosure going to affect the players who are trying to make their country's Olympic team? We're not just talking about the U.S. team here. We're talking about, you know, Ireland or, you know, Scotland or England or, you know, Argentina, wherever these guys come from. They're all playing on the PGA Tour, but they're trying to make their country's Olympic team, and they're going to be subject to the same WADA restrictions and the same disclosure that any other Olympic athlete is.
I may have this wrong, but I believe they don't go into effect for the golfers until 13 weeks before the Olympics. And, you know, unlike the PGA Tour, when you go under that IOC, World Doping Anti-Doping Association, those rules, it is totally surprise nature at any point, at any time. You have to basically tell them where you're going to be every day, not every hour of every day, though some swimmers and others have talked about they basically have to provide a daily calendar because they could be tested at any time. I think these guys are going to be aware that, you know, it could be Wednesday night and you're going to the movie and suddenly you get the phone call, we need to see you right now. Now, it's only going to affect these handful of players. What is it going to be, 60 players or something down there at the Olympics? I've read comments from a couple other players who have, or they're fine, like, fine, let's just go do this. We understand what it is and got nothing to hide. And I think that's ultimately what it all comes back to. It's easy to talk about, you know, how much of an invasion of privacy it is or isn't. But if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about, right?
Yeah, but we see that. I mean, you know, these guys are, you know, they're young guys. You're out there with them all the time. You know, there's a lot of temptations. They got money in their pockets, and, you know, do problems really exist on the tour today? Well, you know, it's just like any part of a society, you know. You know, in Patel's case, he wanted a shortcut to rehabbing from injury to get back to playing sooner. And like you say, it's surprising it doesn't maybe happen more. So guys do know, and they have to be aware. But, you know, it's just like anything else. I'm sure it's a problem. But do you see the PGA Tour, I mean, you kind of mentioned earlier, that maybe they might be forced into changing their policy of non-disclosure because of this Olympic thing?
I don't think they're going to rush to that. You know, there's been a lot of questions asked about if they're going to move to more open policy about that, and they've resisted it. I would not expect, while Tim Fincham is commissioner, for anything major to change in that regard. But again, I think the players have some input into that, and I don't sense that there's a big push to change the way they do it. Obviously, keeping in place the decision to anybody who fails the anti-doping policy, they give you the details of the suspension there. But anything else, I think they're going to try to keep it behind closed doors and keep it in their personnel files and all that. But I think, you know, maybe when the next commissioner comes in, maybe as time goes on, and if something big happens, you know, they may be forced. But right now, I don't get the sense it's moving very quickly in that direction.
Well, Ron, thanks again for coming on and talking to us. You can read Ron's excellent columns every week in Global Golf Post. If you haven't signed up, it comes delivered directly to your email inbox every Monday morning. And for me, it's my first read early every Monday morning when I open my computer. So, Ron, again, thanks a lot. We look forward to seeing you down the road.
Well, thanks for reading and thanks for having me.
Carlos, are you there?
I am here, Fred. I am here. I'm sorry about that. That was Ron Green Jr., and he was talking, Fred, about something that few people want to take on, especially the players they don't want to take on, and that is the drug policy, an open drug policy of sorts. And I would have to say that he said something there that I have always stressed out, and it's that if you don't have anything to hide, you have nothing to worry about. So either this is a bigger problem than what we really know on the PGA Tour happening right now, or it's really something that they're worrying too much about it. We still don't know who really is going to be playing in the Olympics in 2016 next year. So whoever it is, we might know if they don't open up. We might know because of their reluctancy to maybe playing on it, you know, of the use of so-called recreational drugs. The tour really does what the players evidently want them to do, which is protect their privacy. You could argue that that's admirable, but maintaining privacy often requires lying, as the Clinton presidency showed, and that usually ends badly. And that's because they're selling a lie. If I don't take my word for it, Google Lance Armstrong, and you'll see what I'm talking about. As a long-term practice, what the tour is doing is unrealistic and is so concerned with telling the wholesomeness of the game and its players that it's really turning a blind eye to life, what it really is. And the refusal to make public fines and suspensions, like every other sports league does, is what really is damaging them long-term. So take, for example, what happened, Fred, with baseball and the steroids era. Once they attacked it, the buzz was on it, but now it's really a non-issue and rarely talk about it. It's part of history. They really took a hit but move on, and that's what really a PGA should do for it.
Yeah, one of the reasons I find this issue so interesting, Carlos, is because it's as far apart on the meter as you can pretty much get it. The International Olympic Committee is vehement. They're like bulldogs at this testing and using WADA, an independent third party for testing, and they released the results to the media. You know, they ran something like 3,500 drug tests leading up to and during the Winter Olympics in Sochi. I mean, they're testing everybody all the time. I can't imagine that these pro golfers are going to be too excited about that. You know, the PGA Tour has random drug testing, and everyone is tested periodically without prior notice. But, Carlos, if you want to have a drug testing program, how best to administer that and keep control of it? You keep it in-house. You keep the testing. You keep all that under one umbrella, under your control. So, you know, you have your list, and, you know, if you get somebody that maybe turns in a questionable drug test, well, you say, okay, well, we'll just do that one again. You don't want your big stars out there with a drug problem. So, you know, whenever you have people hiding things or not being totally upfront with everything, there's always questions. And that's kind of what the PGA Tour is doing. I really, in the past, didn't think much about it. But as we get closer to this Olympic thing, you know, it makes more sense to me that maybe they want to change their philosophy a little bit. you know, John Feinstein has been, you know, been ranting about this for a couple, for a long time, not more than just a couple of years, but for a long time, and as well as a couple other golf writers out there, really do not like the PGA Tour's policy of not telling the media what's going on with suspensions and fines and all those kind of things, keeping that all under wraps. And I don't know if they can keep doing that for much longer. So, you know, the WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, they use rigorous tests. They have improved scientific methods that can detect drug use going back months rather than days. So, you know, the urine and blood samples are stored for up to 8 years for even retroactive testing. I mean, we saw all that in the Lance Armstrong thing. So, you know, one of the guys says, one of the medical directors, I think it would be stupid to try to cheat. If there are doping cases, some of them may be because athletes are being stupid. You know, so it's just like he's saying, just don't do it. Don't even try it. The Winter Olympics did only produce a small number of positive tests, but of course they involve way fewer athletes than like the Summer Games would. Olympic officials admit many cheats are screened out ahead of the competition through extensive testing carried out around the globe. So, you know, I just find the whole thing interesting. I think we're going to hear a lot more about it. I know we're still, more than a year away, year and a half away from the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. But, you know, golfers and their secrecy and the PGA Tour on their drug testing policy versus full disclosure, you know, on the Olympic side, I just find that very interesting, and I think we're going to hear more and more about that as we go along, Carlos.
I'm sure we will. But one point that you really bring in is, you know, how much more? You know, this will continue to come up every week, every month, you know, on the PGA Tour, everywhere, and it will continue to build on, you know, as a Tour will continue this ridiculous policy of secrecy. So how much longer can the public stomach those players' action that may warrant some kind of punishment? You know, whether it's drug use, public profanity, a DUI, inventing a story about your own kidnapping that's loosely based on a Liam Neeson movie that's throwing out. Anyway, without ever learning what, if any, discipline was handed down, you know, it has to come somewhere at a turning point, and hopefully it comes up sooner rather than later, because otherwise this will turn into another Deflategate issue that nobody knows what happens and nobody talks about it. So they'll continue to deny it, just like the DJ thing, whether it happened or not. It's just going to continue, and nobody will ever know. And the best thing is to be transparent to the public, and hey, you did it. Hey, just go take your suspension, come back stronger than ever. The public loves the return story, a comeback story. We've seen it on all sports. So, hey, just forget about the policy of secrecy. Get up, be transparent, get to the modern stages of sports right now with the drug policy, that everything will be fine. That's my last statement on this. Anything else you would like to talk about the drug policy?
No, I think we've kind of covered what I wanted to cover tonight. I know it's early, like I say. I know we're a long ways from the Olympics, but I just find this issue really interesting, and I know we're going to be talking more about it as we go along.
Yeah, just don't deflate the footballs like it's happening.
Right, don't do that.
Don't do it. Okay, let's take a short break, and when we come back, Fred and I have some final thoughts before we close the show. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Back 9 Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now in our final 5 minutes of the show, we have some time, Fred, for some final thoughts to get in before we close the show. So, Fred, go ahead. What else do you have for us in Stacia and store for today?
There was so much news this week, Carlos. We didn't have room for it in the Par 5 news. The USGA announced that they're going to hold a U.S. Women's Senior Open. They previously had 15 events that they sponsored. Now with a new $1 billion they got coming from Fox, I guess they could afford to host the U.S. Women's Senior Open. The Back Nine Network, who we have followed, that's been trying to get off the ground I don't know if it's really a competition for the Golf Channel, but it's an alternative golf channel kind of thing. It's on DirecTV. The Back Nine Network laid off 35 of its 80 employees. They are suing former CEO Jamie Bosworth, who we have had as a guest on the show, and they had to delay payroll to its highest paid employees in January. Cash flow problems have hit the Alternative Golf Network, from the huge cash outlay to DirecTV to get the network on the air and lower than expected advertising revenues. Gil Hance, who did the golf course down in Rio for the Olympics, just signed a contract to build the third golf course at Stream Song down by Tampa Bay. That should be very exciting. The Dunes at Myrtle Beach will host the 2017 USGA Women's Four-Ball Tournament. The Boston is bidding for the 2024 Olympics, and the Country Club has been chosen to host the golf competition. All sad news, Tom Kite's wife, Christy, passed away last week, and so we wish him all the best and our condolences. Bubba Watson bought a share of a baseball team. It's a minor league team. He's just a partial owner, but that gives him something else to do in his downtime, as he probably doesn't have enough to do. You all saw the thing, I'm sure, about Tiger getting a tooth knocked out when he went over to Europe to watch Lindsay do a little bit of skiing. And miraculously, he's got all his teeth in his press conference today in Phoenix. And this one I love. LPGA Tour rookie Brooke Pancake signed a deal with a Waffle House as a new endorser. Evidently, Roy Hobbs, old tin cup, is out. And also, Carlos, I don't know if you saw this, but in Global Golf Post, Steve Eubanks did a great travel piece on Puerto Rico. You may want to catch that. I'm sure you've been to all those places and are very familiar with them down there.
I haven't seen it, but I definitely will take a look at it, because I have to judge if he really did make some. So
we will probably have Steve on the show in the near future, and if so, if he missed some, you can quiz him about it, okay?
I will. I definitely will. I just have one more piece of news, and, you know, this goes along with what's going on in the Northeast right now. That cold, good temperatures that are going on right now, and there's an event called the Disc Golf Ice Bowl. You know, the motto is no wimps and no whiners. I like that. So if you want to run through the snow and snap your wrist for a good toss, there's still time to sign up for a January 31st disc golf event in Waterbury Center. The DGC Ice Bowl 9 will run from 8 a.m. to about 5 p.m. with stops for chili and cornbread lunch midday and awards and prizes after the afternoon shift. The event benefits the food shelves in Washington County and Lamoille County. Experience playing disc golf is not necessary to enter, but a sense of fun and a warm coat will help. So please, and with those temperatures, just do it. You know, some years
the benefit takes place in the bitter cold or deep snow. Other years, it's bare ground or balmy, at least by Vermont winter standard temperature. So don't miss it. It's going to be great, especially there are ice bowls all around the country right now with the same goal. So that wraps up our show for this week. Okay, thank you for listening to us for the past hour. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf, and thank you for listening to us. Special thanks to our VIGs, to Ron Green Jr. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio, and also through TuneIn or download our show on TuneIn. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Our Twitter ID is at @back9report, the number 9 in the middle. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alpater. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.